If you have your Bibles, be following us on the screen. I want to turn your attention to the Old Testament book of Micah. Micah, the sixth chapter, and I simply want to lift up verse number 8. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Amen. I want to talk about very briefly from the subject humility. Now, if you close your eyes, you're going to miss it. Humility. Somebody say humility. Church, today I want us to begin looking at the next focus area that is important for us to commit to if we're going to become people established by God. And that focus area is our spiritual attitude. There is a spiritual attitude that attracts God's attention. And there is an arrogant attitude that turns God's attention away from us. James 4 and 6 declares, God opposes the proud, but gives more grace to the humble. The winning attitude for us as believers is one that is clothed in humility. And although we hear about being humble and talk about being humble, truth of the matter is we're not as humble as we think we are. Nor are we humble in the manner that God would have us to be. It is not my belief that we don't want to be humble, but I have a hunch that we really can't be humble like we ought if we don't really know what it means to be humble. Since our goal is to be established by God, then it is important that we are able to draw God's attention and not be opposed by God. Because the fact of the matter is, no matter how much we try, no matter how much we know, how much we strategize, no matter how many people of influence offer to give us the hookup, if God is against what you're trying to accomplish, nothing and no one can make it happen for you. If God opposes it, then you're just spinning your wheels. You're wasting your time because nothing happens unless God allows it to happen. And one of the worst states that folk can find themselves in is when God takes his hands off of you and give you over to yourself. Perhaps this is best demonstrated in the story of how David. Y'all know David, don't you? The Bible says David allows Satan to incite him to act in disobedience to the will of God. And God told David never to count the people But David decided he was going to count them anyway. And in 1 Chronicles, the 21st chapter, when David disobeyed God's will, the anger of God was so great, God said he was going to destroy Israel for David's sin. See, when you do things, not only affects you, but it has far-reaching ramifications. When David realized his mistakes, the Bible says he repented to God, and God sent the prophet Gad, David's spiritual advisor, with the options he had from God as consequences for his sin. God gave him the option to choose. And in verse 12 of that 21st chapter, it reads this way: take your choice. Either 3 years of famine or 3 months of devastation by your foes while the sword of your enemies overtake you. Or your next option, David, is pestilence on the land, or 3 days of the sword of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all of Israel. David had to give a choice to Gad to inform the Lord, because David was in such a fix that God would not talk to him. God would not hear him. And so he had to have a mediator, someone else to plead his case, because God was so opposed to David. And in verse 13 it states, then David said to Gad, he says, I'm in great distress. Let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is very great, but let me not fall in the human hands. In other words, David said, Lord, you beat me, because I know if you beat me, there's going to be some mercy in your hand. But if you let me fall in the hands of man, there is no mercy. So David didn't want God to take his hand off of him, spite of his punishment, because to be left to human hands is to be left unto yourself. And when God opposes a person, God withdraws himself. And how many of you know when God moves away? Lord, have mercy. I'm about finished. Grace moves away. When God moves away, blessings and breakthroughs move away. You got to be careful what you do and how you do it, because you don't want to be on the opposite side of God. And the reason that David found himself in the thick and in the mess that would periodically pop up in his life is because David failed to wear the garment of humility. If David, who God calls a man after my own heart, if David could get it wrong and flunk the humility test, then surely, how many of you know all of us are vulnerable to failing the humility test? And we got to remember, the Bible informs us that David was incited by Satan. The enemy delights in getting us in trouble. The enemy delights in us being in confusion and in strife and out of the will of God, because he knows that when you're out of God's will, your blessings are put on hold. And he knows that if you stay out of his will, the time frame of you getting established will be delayed. And so the best defense against the enemy is the weapon called knowledge. Somebody say knowledge. The enemy preys on our ignorance of God's word. He preys on the fact you don't know God's word like you ought to. He preys on the fact that you don't have understanding pertaining to his word like you should. That's why God continues to speak to every age as he has spoken to generations before. He says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. I believe Maya Angelou was the one that says, when you know better, you ought to do better. And so, church, it's my goal to give you a thorough understanding of humility as we journey through this Lenten season. Because the humility state is one that has been so misrepresented and depicted as being weak, docile, being a doormat for others to walk over you. But how many of you know that's not the case? Being humble is one of the most powerful positions that you could ever place yourself in. Because when you're humble, you receive God's best. When you're humble, God is drawn to you. When you're humble, grace abounds towards you. So much so until we find in this theme passage of scripture from Micah 6 and 8 where the prophet Micah informs the people the requirement of the Lord. Says to do justice. In essence, do the right thing. Quit playing, not your thing. Do the right thing. Amen. And then he said, love kindness. Yes. If you can't find no other way, land on the place of kindness always. Don't be nasty. Don't be mean. Don't be hard-hearted. But love kindness. And some translation says love mercy. Then he says, walk humbly with your God. To walk humbly means to diminish yourself. Less of me and more of thee. When you are humble, you never think too highly of yourself. Because how many of you know grandma used to say, if you think too high, God has a way to bring you down. The most important thing for us to recognize and demonstrate in our lives is the ability to walk humbly with our God. It's amazing that God would love us as we are. Because no one or one can't do justice or love kindness until you know how to walk humbly with God. Micah informs us that we are not just to walk with God, but we ought to walk humbly with God. Not in arrogance, not in selfishness, but to have reverence. To walk humbly with God is required if we desire God to walk with us. And I don't know about you, but it makes my soul shudder to think that there have been times that God would not walk with me. And I don't know about you, but after understanding that, that's why I can never compromise staying humble. Because I don't want and I can't afford to let a moment go by without the Lord walking with me. And I believe that this is what makes the difference in our lives. And this is what gives us blessed assurance. And that is to know that the Lord is with us. Because in this life, I've come to know that your family and your friends might walk with you as best as they can. But I do know that there are some things in life and there are some places that they can't walk even with the best intentions. But there is no walk that you can go through where the Lord can't walk with you. Because when God, I said when the Lord walks with you, do I have a witness today? Won't the Lord see you through? And I've come to know that when the Lord walks with you, it'll make all the difference in your life. Come here, David. That's why David said, yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou, Lord, have mercy, thou art with me. That's the assurance that you get when you're humble. God is with me. No matter what you go through, the Lord is with you. When your heart is heavy and when grief comes, won't the Lord be with you? You can face disappointment, betrayal, and even backstabbers when the Lord is with you. When you're on your deathbed, all you gotta do is wave your hand. He'll take you from earth to glory. In the courthouse, he'll be there. In the hospital, he'll be there. You can't go nowhere where the Lord can't get to you. Do I have a witness? Is there anybody here? Got a testimony that the Lord, good God Almighty, the Lord, y'all shucks, the Lord will be with you. He brought you from a mighty long way. Do I have a testimony in the house today? Let me go over to this side and see if I got anybody over here. Got a testimony. Won't the Lord be there? Won't the Lord make a way? Won't the Lord bring you out? For when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all the Lord has done for me, my soul cries out, thank you, Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. How many of you know you should have lost your mind a long time ago? How many of you know you had incidences in your life that should have killed you? How many of you know that if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you don't know where you could have been. And so you got to stay humble. You got to stay humble. Walk with me, Lord. Lord, walk with me. Oh, walk with me, Lord. Walk with me while I'm on. While I'm on my tedious journey. Oh, walk with me. Hey, walk. Yes, sir. Walk with me. While I'm on tedious journey, Lord. Walk with me. Perhaps, perhaps there's somebody here today. You feel like you're walking by yourself. Not only that, you feel like you're walking uphill. Feel like you're walking against the winds of life. You take one step and life pushes you back too. But I'm here to let you know, if you give your life to Jesus and make Jesus your Lord and Savior, when life tries to push you down, and if life knocks you down, you got a Savior that'll pick you right back up. And who'll be there? He'll be shelter in the midst of it all. So if you've not received Jesus, come. Come and get saved and receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior this day. Come. Or perhaps you're already saved and you're looking to connect with a church. We here at Edisto Falk would love to have you. Personally, I want to be your pastor. Come on. Come on and be a part of our church family. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Robert is coming. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where the brothers at? Come on, brothers. Y'all know what y'all supposed to do. Bust a move down here. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Hold my hand. Hold my hand. Hold. While I'm yes, yes. I want Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Y'all stay there, stay there. Amen. Our membership secretary will get a pastor data form for Brother Robert. Now it's time for prayer. I want to invite you to come stand with our new brother.